forgive me if I go too fast. Life is just a party, and a party wasn't meant to last. So say 2000 party over, oops, out of time. So tonight I'm gonna party like it's 1999.
Oh, we're rolling, by the way.
1999, yeah. Don't you want to go?
I want to go. What's up, everybody?
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Cocktails. How y'all doing?
How you doing?
Merry Christmas, everybody. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas yesterday.
Wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, technically, this is coming out on the 26th, so yesterday was Christmas for everybody.
We wish you a Christmas yesterday and a Happy New Year.
Robin, you are not going to be difficult today. You got your presents yesterday. Go on.
That's Robin. Go lay down. And I'm Zenobia.
I am Jason.
And this is a podcast where we pair amazing cocktails with amazing movies.
So, I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready for this drink?
Yes.
I am so ready to drink, y'all.
I see all the ingredients, and I like all the ingredients.
Yes, you do.
I'm a happy camper.
This one is quite similar to our cherry soda pop.
Oh, yeah.
Sprite cherry soda pop. This is similar to it. Okay. So, we are drinking a dirty Roy Rogers, y'all.
I heard Roy Rogers gets a little dirty.
He do. So, you might have had this as a child, but we about to dirty it up for you, okay? So, what you need is some whiskey. And we got some nice...
Handle whiskey.
You know? And since he's a cowboy, well, you got to make sure it's American whiskey.
A cowboy, that's right. He is one of our last cowboys.
And so...
of the 20th century. We'll say that. We got some cowboys in this century.
Yeah. He was just... I think he was the first big one.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little
bit. There's the microphone. Found it.
I found it. It was right underneath my elbow. Okay, so you're going to do one part whiskey.
Fair warning, I'm 15 minutes into my coffee. Ooh, it's going to get serious.
It's about to get real serious. So what we're going to do is we're going to do half an ounce of maraschino liqueur. You guys know I love that shit. So make it taste good. Now, this drink, I kind of made it up, to be honest with you guys. I just dirtied it up.
Yeah, it's basically a Roy Rogers with some alcohol now.
With some alcohol. And...
Wait, what is in a Roy Rogers? I've never had one.
Original Roy Rogers is just Coke, grenadine, and maraschino cherry.
Oh, okay.
So if you went to a bar and you're like, let me get a Roy Rogers.
Let me hear that. You ready? Let me hear that open. Oh. You took your time with it. I was expecting it to sound like the old Coke commercials from the 80s. Where it's like, shh.
So what you're going to do is top off the rest of your glass with some Coca-Cola or Pepsi's if you're one of those people. I'm not. So the next part is a dash of grenadine in your drink.
You can put more than a dash in mine. That's fine.
Hold on.
Oh, we're running low.
So you're going to put a little bit, if you want, of maraschino juice. I like to do that. So we'll just do a little bit of that.
Did you ever drink the juice when you were a kid?
My parents never really had maraschinos laying around.
My parents didn't, but my grandma did. And so in summertime, she only kept water for us kids. Water and milk, and I did not like milk.
Ugh, me neither.
And so I found like some jar of maraschino cherries. I was like, I want something with some taste to it. And I drank that shit. It was not a good idea.
So what you're going to do is stir it a little bit.
That looks good.
And we're going to put some cherries in there. It's going to fit in that.
Two works.
And that, my friends, is the Dirty Roy Rogers.
What is it?
Dirty Roy Rogers.
Yes, it is.
And I'm ready to drink. You ready to try this?
I'm ready to drink.
Cheers.
Cheers. That'll work.
That's good.
I like it.
It's good.
I can sip on that for the next hour and a half. We're going to try and get it early, this one, people.
We know you got things to do, and we got things to do.
You guys probably all got that itis from leftover Christmas hams and things laying on the couch.
So I did some research on the drink Roy Rogers, and I didn't really find much. So, right. Like I said, the Roy Rogers was a non-alcoholic drink. It was named after the actor and singing cowboy, Roy Rogers. And it was like the equivalent to, it was like the boy version of a Shirley Temple, which is the exact same thing. Instead of using Coke, you use Sprite. That's a Shirley Temple. So this is the boy's equivalent to that.
Mm.
I guess he was like a very good cowboy with morals and stuff. So that is why I'm thinking his drink was named after him with no alcohol. Because what cowboy do you know doesn't drink alcohol? Yeah, that's not a fucking thing.
Yeah, it's not. I'm trying. I'm trying to think of somebody. And yeah, they all drink.
They all drink. So that's not even...
Doc Holliday, Wyatt Earp, yeah. John Wayne, Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood drink?
I can't answer any of this. You know that.
I don't know. I'm going to have to fact check that one.
All right. So Roy Rogers, he was called the Singing Cowboy, and he did over 100 films, radio shows, and TV shows, mm-hmm. including his own, The Roy Rogers Show, which was like a little variety country show, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They stretched the imagination on the title.
Yeah. My dad said that he watched it a lot because when he was little, he wanted to be a cowboy. I think he still wants to be a cowboy.
Because I want to be a cowboy, baby.
Put your hands in the air, let the sun shine, shine.
I was going to say, you don't like that song? Look, give me that look.
So Roy had a big song called Yippee-ki-yay-ki-yo. And that is where...
I'm sorry. How does it go?
I kind of want to... Can I insert it in there? Can I do a little clip of it? Because I know I'm not giving it justice.
Yippee-i-yo-ki-yay. Yippee-i-yo-ki-yay.
I just want to hear you sing.
Yippee-ki-yay-ki-yo. I don't know. I didn't write it. It's some little cheesy song about a cowboy, like superhero or something like that.
I love it.
That's what he cries. So that gives you a little insight to what John McClane. Oh, I guess you already know.
People already know. We're doing Die Hard.
Was thinking about. Okay, so.
Best Christmas movie ever.
And then
don't quote me on that.
There was another song called Happy Trails
to you until we meet again. Happy Trails.
That one I think I've heard
until
actually.
We meet again, which is another line from this movie.
Sounds like a country song.
So this part was cool. Roy and his wife, they would pass through Apple Valley on their way to their cottage in Big Bear Lake. And when they would pass through, because there was no 15 freeway for you SoCal people out here.
Nope.
They had to go through Apple Valley. And they fell in love with this small little cute little town. And they bought 67 acres.
Damn.
They made a ranch out of it.
67 acres.
There's like a big red barn and uh-huh. like there's a stall that holds I think like 15 horses. It's just massive.
Back when you could buy 67 acres.
Yeah, it was just shit. Massive. They said that they were really cute in the community, like they came to all the, you know, local events and stuff and was really involved in the
town
community.
Hall meetings, yeah, and stuff.
So they stayed at that ranch from like 1964 to 1998 when he died.
Aww.
And I'm not quite sure if there's still tours that mm-hmm. go on, because I kind of want to take my dad, but I know that in 2017 somebody else bought it, so I don't know exactly what's going
all
on.
All 67 there. Acres?
They bought the ranch. I don't know how much it is now.
Shit.
It's huge. So that's
for a small profit.
So that's a herstory on the Dirty Roy Rogers.
Yes. Well, so, cheers, Roy Rogers.
Cheers. So, you already told the movie what I picked this week.
You told him what movie.
I did.
I gave that away.
I made Die Hard, you guys.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into it.
We're going to get into it. You want me to hit you with the stats?
Hit me with the stats.
Okay.
I have a surprise for you. I have no notes.
You didn't write anything down?
I didn't write a single thing down. It's all up here. All
right. We'll see about that. I wrote my notes like I normally do.
I am trying something new.
I
to keep me loose and improvisational,
like,
and able to work
like
off
that.
Of everything and keep this fun jumping podcast going.
There's no way I could do that though. You know I need to write my shit down.
I'm gonna treat it like, you know, like a quiz.
Okay, here you we know go. What I mean? Here we go. Die Hard came out July 20th, 1988.
Yes, it did.
So it is not a Christmas movie, but it is set in Christmas time.
Wait a minute, it came out in 1980, July of 1988?
Yep.
That's interesting because I'm pretty sure that they wrote down, IMDb's got to make some adjustments. They said that they were filming from November 87 to March of 88. There's no way they can cut this thing in 3 months. Huh. IMDb, get on your shit.
I don't know.
See, it's all up there.
Yeah, I know that it took 11 weeks.
11 weeks to film?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, let me finish the stats. So, right. Its budget, $28 million. So today's money, $140 million.
Shit. Since 88, that's 30 years?
Yeah, so it's...
Money's tripled in 30 years.
It made $59 million, which in today's money, $299 million.
Fuck.
You guys... Can you imagine?
Nowadays it would make a billion.
I just want to point out something, but when, what is his name?
Actor, director, the cop. Writer. John McClane?
No, the black cop.
Oh, Carl Winslow?
Carl Winslow. I try not to, Carl Winslow.
His name is Reginald.
So when Carl Winslow is at the little 7-Eleven and he walks out and he looks at the building,
uh-huh.
You can see the price for gas was like, 74 cents.
Motherfuckers.
So I'm real pissed on that shit. So are you ready for
So check this out. Money has tripled since then, yet 74 cents. And how much is gas now? Almost $4.
Yeah, at least here in California.
It has more than quadrupled. Explain that.
Bitches.
Mobile.
So you ready for your Rotten Tomatoes?
Ugh. Okay, hold on. Let me take a drink. Let me get some listening juice in me.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The critics gave it...
You already look... Go ahead.
93%.
Yeah!
The audience gave it 94%.
Nice.
So, all around...
All around.
Good.
You get
movie.
An A. Not even an A minus. They got an A.
Yeah. So
shit.
They did good.
All right.
So, you ready
good
for...
Good on you.
The drinking game.
Yes.
I made this one...
Excuse me. You put Coke in here. I'm gonna burp.
It is really good.
We actually
though.
Haven't had a burping episode in a while.
We haven't had any champagne.
That's true.
Since Death at a Funeral.
I'm sorry. I know champagne is your favorite
drink. It is. I almost did a champagne drink for this, but we's broke these days. It's Christmas time, so I was not about to do this shit. So how about I hit you with a completely made up drinking game? Now, I didn't have to make it up. There are some out there, but I'm just getting in my rhythm now, so this is what we're going to do. You take one drink when anytime John talks about California or Los Angeles.
I like that. Come out to California, John.
Come out to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
Mm-hmm. When John says Argyle.
You mean the dude's name?
The dude's name.
Okay.
He says it a lot.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone noticed it, but like in that first scene, he says it about a million times.
Okay. Wait, which scene? When they're in the limo?
Yeah.
You always ask this many questions, Argyle.
You're all right, Argyle.
Argyle, tell me you heard the shots.
Like okay. When he's like, hey, where do we go? And he goes, I don't know. And then they get in there and he's in the front seat.
Uh-huh.
And he'd be like, yeah. And he just keeps asking him. Everything he answered, he'd be like, yeah, Argyle. Okay, Argyle. So there you go.
Maybe that's a cop thing. He's trying to remember his name.
Yeah,
later.
Maybe. Okay, so anytime McClane is said by anybody.
I want you to meet John McClane.
Hey, I'm John McClane.
Or should I call you Mr. McClane?
Mr. McClane.
You take one drink when someone dies.
Fuck. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, I like
wait,
to make...
Wait. Do you drink twice when Carl dies then?
Carl?
Yes.
Winslow?
No, not Carl Winslow.
Oh, see? That's why we can't Carl...
The dude that Carl shoots. The character's name is Carl.
Oh, the douchebag?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You definitely drink when that fool dies.
Twice? Because technically it dies twice. They assume that he was dead, and then all of a sudden he comes back in the end.
Oh, the guy who he gets hung. That's right.
Yeah.
No, you got to do for the kill shot.
Damn.
Lawyered.
Whatever.
So you take...
I mean, if you've never seen the movie, I say you do it then. Because like, oh, he's hung, he's dead. Yep. Yeah, drink.
They might not know who we're talking about. Sorry for ruining.
And if you haven't seen the movie, you're 30 years late to the prom.
I'm sorry, yo. Okay, so...
Or to the Christmas party.
You take one drink when Joyful Joyful is played.
Joyful
or Hummed
Joy.
Or something. I can't remember the real name of it.
We adore thee.
It's not Sister Act 2.
I know, I just think of it when you say that.
I know, but you can hear it played in the back. I think even Hans hums it, too. You take a drink anytime there's a reference to Christmas.
So you got any Christmas music?
This is Christmas music.
Anytime McClane talks about being a cop.
It's okay, I'm a cop. Trust me, I've been doing this for 11 years.
You take one drink when Sergeant Powell stands up to his captain, or to his chief, or wherever that dude is.
Yeah.
Are you going to stand there and tell me that he's going to give a damn about what you do to him if he makes it out of there alive? Why don't you wake up and smell what you're shoveling?
You take a drink. He does it a couple times.
I was going to say, he talks. Does talking back count?
Yeah.
Like, when he's like, you know, do you need a breath mint? When, like, the FBI.
Ooh, I'll take that too, because that's a good one. Ass kissing,
motherfucker.
You take a drink when Argyle is not paying attention.
Oh, shit.
So every time they show him and he's rocking out to like Stevie Wonder.
On the phone trying to holler at some bitches.
Yeah.
Some 1980s bitches.
My boss thinks that, you know, I'm on my way to Vegas.
Sweetheart, have I ever lied to you?
My boss thinks I'm on my way to Vegas.
In the car phone. Thought he was a big ass deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you take one drink when McClane says a catchy line. Like, where you'd be like,
happy trails?
Yeah, I'll take the happy trails. Or like where the lady is like, you know, this is used for important.
Oh, yeah.
This line's for important. He's like,
no fucking shit, lady. Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
What do you no think? Fucking shit, lady.
What do you think? I'm ordering pizza? Like something like that. One of his little stupid catchy catchphrases.
I love it.
Okay. So this is when we're going to finish the drink, all right?
Okay.
You finish your drink when John says, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
That's a good one.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
And you finish your drink when Han Groopers falls to his death. Boom.
Happy trails, Hans. Actually, he says that just before, but yeah.
Yep, happy trails, Hans.
Happy trails, Hans.
Get your ass out the
You got
window.
Anything else you want to add to the drinking game?
What can we add to the drinking game? I almost want to add something about Ellis because he's such a douchebag.
I almost did. I literally almost did. Like every time he says a douchebag thing or does a douchebag thing. But
No, it's fine. I think it's good the way it is.
Hans, Bobby.
Hans, Bobby, I'm your white knight.
Can we start with him?
We can start wherever you like.
Let's start with it.
Well, if we're going to start with him, that line that I just quoted, he made that up on the spot.
Did he really?
He sure did.
Improv, okay.
Most of this movie is impromptu.
Okay.
They changed the script so much that they ran out of colors to designate the newer script code.
Wow.
Yeah. They had no more colors to be like, okay, this is today's news revised script. Here's yesterday's revived script. And they'd all be in different colors.
I would hate that as a director. I would hate that. The script is the script is the script. You want to improv in there, fine, but the story stays the same.
So there is a lot of lines that are improv that like we love, like where the black guy,
the tech guy,
the evil one.
Okay,
the bad black guy.
Yeah, I didn't do anything on him.
He's on Texas Ranger.
Walker Texas Ranger. Okay,
he was his partner. I saw that. I was like, oh shit, that is him.
Mm-hmm.
But like the line where he's like,
oh my god, the poor quarterback is toast. Huh?
He made that up. There's a lot of things that were just kind of done on the spot.
When he does, like, the storytelling time.
Yeah, I think that he improvised a lot.
He's like, the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except for four SWAT guys coming out the back, 2x2 formation.
Yeah.
Well, John McTiernan, big ups to you because multiple scripts would drive me insane. And that is our director.
That would drive me insane.
That would drive me nuts.
I just wouldn't read them.
Like, in order to keep things in order and in order to know what story I'm trying to capture and what I'm trying to tell, fuck no. One script. Have that shit locked down before you get on set.
As the actor, I would just be like, I'm just not going to read the script until the day of. Because you change it too fucking much.
Yeah, absolutely.
I ain't got time to read all this shit.
No. And don't get me wrong. I'm all for improv and improvising a scene. Because not a lot of times actors can interpret the script, but when it comes organically from them, even though they're saying the same thing using different words, it sounds and feels better because they're more invested in it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I think this is the only one out of all the diehards that is mainly improv.
Okay. Well, it's the first one, so that makes sense. Mm-hmm. They closed their eyes and threw the darts and somehow hit the bullseye. And speaking of the director, he did not direct part two.
Right.
However, he did do Die Hard with a Vengeance.
My favorite one!
I love that one. That one was good. The reason why he didn't do part two is because he was shooting The Hunt for Red October. Did you ever see that?
I haven't, but I kept seeing it in the
research. Sean Connery and Denzel. Yeah.
Did you know that he didn't want to do the movie at first? He thought that it was too dark, like the subject of having terrorists come and attack. Okay. So when he took it on, he was like, all right, one thing I'm going to change is these terrorists are now robbers. So it's not like against America or political in any way. It's just some assholes trying to steal shit.
I mean, I get that he had a choice because he was just coming off of Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that fucking knocked shit out of the park.
Love it.
And ever since then, he's just, during like the 80s and early 90s, he was like the go-to guy for action. He was Michael Bay.
Yeah.
He was the Michael Bay of the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He did, like I said, The Hunt for Red October. He did Last Action Hero. He was supposed to do Friday the 13th. He turned that down. He turned down a couple of things in order to do the movies that he was doing. His last big movie, I want to say, was Rollerball.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did Rollerball.
With fucking LL.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, in 2002.
Ryan Hartnett, is that what it was?
Something like that. And there was... Okay, so I'm going to give you a little inside scoop on Mr. John McTiernan.
Scoop it.
There's a good chance that he's still going to jail. Oh. There was a situation on Rollerball that happened with the producers, and he may or may not have hired some private investigators or tried to like blackmail some people or some bullshit, but... He was tried and convicted, and then he went to appeals, and he is still currently out on bail under a pending appeal at a later date.
For doing what?
I don't know. Some
shitty backroom deals?
White-collar criminal shit. I don't know. Some paperwork shit.
I thought you were going to say, like, fondled little boys or something.
No, that's Bryan Singer. Oh, did I just say that?
You want me to cut that?
I like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, so...
No, don't cut shit.
He said that all the explosions in the building, real.
Did they blow up the fucking building?
Let me explain to you about this building. Okay?
Oh, shit.
So, the Nakatomi... Is that you
Nakatomi Plaza? Is that what it, yeah.
Nakatomi.
For Nakatomi.
I'm trying to say it like Hans. He says it really funny.
Yeah, when he's talking about the models and shit. I love models.
The Nakatomi Towers is actually the headquarters for 20th Century Fox.
No, okay. So they definitely didn't blow it up.
No, but they were filming it as it was being constructed. So the scenes where he's running through unfinished parts of the building.
I got you.
That's really unfinished parts of Fox
Studios. That's awesome.
And the company, this is this, the company even charged them rent to film in this building. And what? It's their movie. It's their own movie. And they were like.
So they paid themselves.
Yeah.
See? White collar crime? Shit. Tax write-offs. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. They charged themselves and they paid themselves and then they filed it on their taxes in 1989.
And then they went through hell to try to get the SWAT, the LAPD SWAT tank permitted to go up on there, like up on the stairs and stuff. Which was like something that was hard for them to do at the time.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah, a little bit on the building. I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. Well, John McTiernan was killing it for the better part of 2 decades. Mm-hmm. And I think that if he hadn't gotten into legal troubles, he would still be doing some great movies. Maybe afterwards when he's done. He's only 67. So once he's done with these legal troubles, maybe he'll come back and direct some more great movies.
I want to know what the fuck he did.
I mean...
What the fuck you do? What you do? If your last movie is Rollerball, that came out in like 2001. And it was a crappy ass movie too. That's not a good way to go out.
It wasn't the greatest. So he pled guilty to lying to FBI agents about having to investigate one of the producers, Charles Roven, something like that. And he was sentenced to 4 months in federal prison in 2007.
Oh, for not snitching.
They appealed it. Yeah, something like
that. All right, well, that's not as bad as a crime as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, well.
For not snitching on your friend, you know.
No. Is it that he... I'm not going to get into it because I don't know the full truth. And, well, we're being recorded here.
Yeah, I don't really care. We're here to talk about Die Hard.
His sentence is still pending his next appeal.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, there's still stories to be told, John McTiernan, including your own, apparently.
Yeah, somebody write a story about that. I want to know what the fuck went on.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Mr. Argyle, who I have some issues with.
Who?
Argyle. Okay. Dude in the limo.
Okay, okay.
So his real name is Devereaux White. Do you recognize him?
He looks familiar, but I didn't dive into his shit.
He's done a few movies. Most notably, he did The Blues Brothers with Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. Yeah. What I remember him from is Trespass. With Ice-T and Bill Paxton.
Okay.
He's Lucky.
All right.
Remember him? Lucky, yeah. Motherfucker. Yeah. That's me. All of a sudden, oh, Lucky's dead. I only have one issue with my man, because he's still working. He's still trying as an actor and everything. His last movie was 2012, but he's also doing TV, so he was like on Workaholics and stuff.
I love that show.
It's a good show. Adam Devine. I love him. His IMDb says that he performs at 29 to 35 years old. Now, in 2018.
Did you see the picture of him?
I see the picture of him.
I mean...
He's pushing 60.
He looks good in the picture.
He's in his mid-50s. He is not playing 29 to 35. He was playing 29 to 35 in 1988.
He at least should be in his 40s.
Yeah, mid-40s. You can do that. Like, actors, when they take care of themselves...
Maybe it's just not updated.
You can play 10 years back. Which is why his last movie was in 2012. My man needs to update his stuff if he wants to keep working.
Oh, he's an Action Jackson?
He was an Action Jackson.
All right, well, I ain't got nothing on it.
Okay. That's my only beef with him. I thought he was good.
I thought he was
good. He did a good job in this one. He did a good job in Trespass.
Helped to save the day. He hit the fucking ambulance.
Yeah, knocked out, what's his name?
Black on Black Crime.
The dude we can't remember.
Texas Walker, Texas Ranger.
Okay, well, I'm itching to talk about this douchebag anyway. Hart Boschner plays Ellis.
Okay.
That's why I called him a douchebag, because he plays a douchebag. Hans, Bubby.
Bubby. Yeah, he came up with that. He played a very good douchebag.
He did.
He had the douchebag beard, snorting coke at the Christmas party.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was making a phone call.
I was just making a call. This is the nurse phone.
This is Officer John McClane, husband to...
Yeah, I was making a phone call. This is the only place that was open.
Uh-huh, as you're doing lines off the fucking counter.
He did good.
He did do a good job. I think he did a great job. He still acts. He still got like a couple of things that are in pre-production. He's still doing his thing. More coincidentally, though, remember what we were talking about last episode with Mekhi Phifer?
Okay.
and his first appearance in High School High.
Yeah.
Guess who directed?
He directed High School High. No way! Yeah. We need to do it. If you guys haven't seen this ridiculously cheesy ass movie.
If we choose like a stupid month. A spoof month.
Spoof month. Okay, that's it. Like, there we go.
High School High and Scary Movie and all that.
Do like Spinal Tap.
Stupid shit. I never seen Spinal Tap.
Okay. He was also in Grey's Anatomy, and he did an episode of Scandal, so he's still in the mix.
Oh, yeah. He does, like, Criminal guest stars Minds. And co-stars. I drank this drink a little fast.
I'm on my second one, by the way, people who's keeping count.
Hey, it is Thursday night, and I feel all right.
It's been a tough week, y'all. So
the party's here on the west side.
I needed it. Don't you sing my song?
So I thought you were going to finish it.
Designated driver took the keys to my truck.
I got a truck. You don't got a truck.
Took the keys to my Nissan. All right.
Well.
Who's next?
Hart Boschner, I just want to say, Canadian again.
Eh?
Yeah, I like Canadians. I got no problem with Canadians.
I've been to Canada before.
Have you really? I've never been to Canada.
I went to Vancouver.
I'm still waiting to book my first job over there. Unfortunately, everything that's filmed in Canada hires Canadians because then they get tax breaks. Yeah, do you know that shit?
I did.
It's bullshit.
Because I wanted to.
I can't get on nothing on the CW. It's all filmed in Canada. Therefore, they're not going to hire me unless I become the lead of the show.
Well, when he who shall not be named got elected, I was looking for a way out. And when I read that, I was like,
it's real funny when Americans are immigrating out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not that I don't love America. I just...
I'll be back in 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to take a little hiatus. Peace.
Okay, anyway. Hart Boschner, we love you. We appreciate you. You play a great douchebag.
Douche!
More importantly, you direct great movies like High School High and PCU.
He did PCU?
He did PCU.
I like that.
Yeah, all
right. We'll have a college month one day.
So let's get into the villains real quick. Alexander Godunov.
Okay.
Plays Carl.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Carl is?
Yeah.
Now you do. Not Carl Winslow.
No.
No. The blonde fucking dude. The blonde 6'12" Adonis dude that you can't kill.
Can I give you a fun fact about him?
Give me a fun fact about him.
Before he became this badass fucking villain in movies and shit, he was a ballet dancer.
Yes, he was. He's Russian, right?
Yeah. And he left the Soviet Union.
Excuse me.
As a refugee. And he came here, but he was a ballet dancer there, if you can imagine that.
That's not a stretch at all. This dude fucking looks like the dude from every romantic novel.
He does look like Fabio.
That's who I couldn't think like of. Fabio. Fucking Fabio. I met that dude once.
Met Fabio?
Yeah, me and Ashley were at Mel's Diner late night, like at midnight or 1 a.m, and he comes strolling in with some woman that was like... not like romantic. It looked like he was one of his like agents or publicists or something like that. And they're just chilling, having a little meeting and stuff.
She's like, I feel like I'm on a cover of one of your books.
Yeah, exactly. still, you know, he still moisturizes. He's not aging too poorly.
Do you ever see that YouTube video where he's on a roller coaster and a bird flies into his face?
No.
Like, crap.
What?
Into his face. Yeah, I'll have to show you. It's funny. Google it, YouTube it, y'all. It's funny.
I mean, I'm looking at Alexander's face right now, and I'm just picturing it's almost
no,
the
not
same.
Him. This is Fabio's face. Fabio.
Okay.
Okay.
He looks like Viggo the Carpathian.
He does look like Viggo.
They both do. Yes. They both look like Viggo, which was almost our movie for next week, but it is not.
It is.
It came
not.
Close. It was a runner-up. We'll call it that.
So expect it sometime.
So my other favorite movie of his, The Money Pit. Did you ever watch The Money Pit with Tom Hanks? And he plays the symphony orchestra.
Oh, that's dude. Right. He's her ex-husband.
Yeah, he's got a thing for Tom Hanks' wife.
He's her husband. What's her name from Cheers?
Ah, I can never remember her name. I don't know.
Guys, I'm a little buzzed, so.
Dude.
I can't really tell you, but you guys know who I'm talking about. Money Pit is hilarious.
Yeah, we're
seeing the steps like fall.
Oh fuck.
He falls through
Tom
the
Hanks
floor,
halfway through the floor.
Through the floor.
He's just sitting there.
He's like, Where are you? And he's like, I'm in the floor. You're like, yeah. Hi, that's gonna be on here.
Hi honey, how was your day?
Tom Hanks does some great comedies like that and fucking The Burbs.
Isn't John Candy in that also?
Big.
I could be mistaken with a different one. He's in Splash. I know that for sure.
Oh, yeah. And Splash. I used to love that shit.
But yeah, Alexander Godunov has a thing for Tom Hanks's wife. And he's like, he comes from money and all that shit. And so he's like, has something to offer her that she is not currently getting from Tom Hanks.
Because he kicks her out of their all their house.
Money into this house.
She was living in his house while he was on tour. And then he's like, I'm coming back. You got to get the fuck out, bitch. And that's why they buy this money pit.
Uh-huh.
It was a gorgeous house if it wasn't falling apart. Anyway, back to Dakhad.
I love that shit. That all of a sudden they got water running one day.
That movie, they got the old car, right? The lady, she's like, here, you even get the car. And it's like a fucking 1917 like car.
T, what is it called? It's like a T-bird. Model T.
Yeah.
Shit, I'll take a T-bird.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he unfortunately passed away in 1995.
Oh.
He was only, what, like 45, 46 years old?
R.I.P., where'd he go from?
Natural causes.
What?
Yeah, he was just wrapping, he was finishing a movie and they found him in his hotel room. And it wasn't from a drug overdose, it wasn't from like a suicide or nothing like that. Cause of death, natural causes.
Damn.
46 years old.
I used to think he was the same guy from fucking Rocky.
Yeah, it was just a couple months. Wait, Ivan Drago? Dolph Lundgren?
That's who I, when, as a kid.
Oh, okay.
I used to think that they were the same person.
Okay, I got you. But yeah, it was just a couple months shy of the release of Die Hard with a Vengeance. So,
which is
Alexander, rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, he's in the...
He's not in...
He's in part two.
No, he dies.
Oh, he dies, that's right.
Carl Winslow shoots him in the head.
That's right. Carl.
Carl Winslow. I'm sorry. Carl. I'm sorry.
Can we talk about Carl since
Carl, Reginald Vell Johnson will forever be Carl Winslow from Family Matters.
If you don't watch Family Matters, I believe it's on Hulu.
Is it on Hulu?
I think so.
Dude, I am so excited. I just got free Hulu from my buddy Mohan. What's happening, Mohan?
Thank you.
I want it in White Elephant. Gift. That book up there that says China, Russia, future relations, whatever. That was his white elephant gift. I was like, what the fuck is this? But then you open it and it has a little like note stamped inside and it says currently owner of like Hulu and HBO Go, text me for username and password.
Fuck yeah.
I was like, hell
so
yeah.
So everyone's all pissing at this stupid, what's this book?
Well, no, I was like kind of, I played it low because you know how white elephant gifts work. The way we did it was whoever's gift got picked. Ooh, shit. Slapping tables. I'm a little buzzed.
You want another one?
Yes.
Come on, bring it over here.
Hold on.
With our hips dry.
Yeah. So whoever's gift gets picked, that's the next person who picks a gift. Or who steals a gift from somebody who's already picked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played it low. I actually stole this gift when it was my turn to pick. So I saw the value in this that nobody else saw. I'm like, dude, Hulu is $6 a month. HBO Go is another like
wait, people 10 knew bucks a that month. That was the gift and they still passed on?
Yeah, they didn't understand. They were probably drinking. I don't know.
Whatever.
But it's I was like, what? You're shitting me. I'm going for that one. I don't care what's in the other boxes.
Come up.
Yeah, exactly. We call that a come up. So now I got Hulu and we can watch Family Matters.
Yep.
What you doing later?
Waiting for dinner because I'm starving.
Watching Family Matters watch and eating dinner.
Yep.
Well, anyway, Reginald Vell Johnson, still doing his thing. He is 66 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
He was in part two also.
He sure was.
Die Hard part two. And did you know that he was in Ghostbusters? The first one. The very first Ghostbusters.
As who?
I think he was like one of his first movies. I think he was like a guard. He was a guard. He was a guard in the jail. So you know how they get locked up before they yell at somebody else who is still in this movie who we haven't talked about yet? the dude that plays the bureaucratic douchebag in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Murray's like, yes, sir, that's correct. This man has no dick. So I think it's during that time that Reginald is playing the guard. But always and forever, Carl Winslow. He will never escape that.
I don't think he wants to.
Why would you? That show was fantastic.
One of the best TV dads around.
Absolutely. One of my favorite movies that he ever did, though, Turner and Hooch.
I was literally about to say that. Where he also plays a cop.
Where he also plays a cop. Yes, absolutely.
And he also plays a cop on Family Matters.
He does play a cop a lot. Well, he's got that look. He's got like that...
That doughy body.
Yeah, exactly. It's more like that, like, one foot out the door cop.
But he always plays a good cop, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think he can play like a villain. He would be like the most unsuspecting villain in the world. He's too nice. He's got too nice of a smile.
I know. You know? You just want to give him a bear hug.
Yeah. And I'm not scared of him. I just like... Dude, I just want to give him a hug.
You're like, oh, dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I give you a fun fact about him?
Yeah, go for it.
Because of Sergeant Powell's pregnant wife's love for Twinkies, Reginald would get Twinkies thrown at him or given to him all the time. People would even throw them into his car.
Wait a minute. Because of his wife in the movie?
Yeah, because you know when he goes into the 7-Eleven or whatever... He just stops at the Twinkies and he just like has an armful of Twinkies. And the guy's like,
I thought you guys just ate donuts.
Like donuts.
Was there an undertone of racism going on in that scene?
I didn't
know.
To be honest,
the AMPM guy is on his fucking high horse and being a little asshole.
To a cop.
Yeah, absolutely.
To a cop. One, when you work in a liquor store or a gas station, you get robbed all the motherfucking time. You better be nice to the fucking
Don't
cops.
Don't bite the hand that protects you.
Don't be mean to the fucking cops who are on that beat. So every time they hear, oh, robbery at 7-Eleven, they're like, oh, that bitch.
That motherfucker. No, yeah. Fuck the fat ginger white boy.
I did
want to
ask
you
about that because it was weird.
There was an undertone of assholeness coming from the AMPM guy.
And even Carl's just like.
They're for my wife. Yeah. She's pregnant. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm a Meisner actor. You can play a scene any way that you want. This is what they taught us, is the emotion and the behavior are the river that's running down the stream in a movie. The words are just the canoe that's floating on top.
Right.
Therefore, you can treat any script like an asshole, like a nice guy, like a douchebag, whatever you want. So it was up to the AMPM guy how he was going to play that.
Yeah.
And he chose to be an asshole.
I don't know why. And Carl even puts money in their little fucking jar.
Yeah, he does. I mean, that's not necessarily their jar. It could be like...
whatever.
Feed the homeless or help the children or something like that.
And when he looks at the building, he sees the building. And on the top of the building, you can see the gunfire.
Mm-hmm. But and from that distance, you can definitely hear it, too.
And he still goes to it, not even worried.
But yeah, I call bullshit on that part.
The code that is called is to go check out might be dangerous situation without your lights.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the exact code, but that's what it like translates to.
Investigate a code 2 at Nakatomi Plaza, Century City.
It's to come to somewhere without your lights. And check it out. And it might be threatening and it might not.
Yeah.
But you should take it as in,
he,
go check it out.
And he takes it as routine at first.
Yeah.
Which I get and I don't get at the same time. I think that's trouble with the script. And that's what happens when you have multiple scripts.
And you tell me there's no...
First and foremost.
That's true.
Not only that, there's a number of situations in here that would never fly in reality.
I know. Like, I'm sounding like my dad right now.
No. It's... I mean, it was the 80s. It was the late 80s when you can pass this shit off as characters or whatever. If anything, we can talk about Paul Gleason because it's his character that says most of the fucked up lines.
I don't understand the writing for him. Okay,
He's meant to play the opportunistic... What is he, the chief or the captain?
He's chief.
He's the chief.
Okay, so this is... This fun fact right here. Fun fact! Yeah. I feel like I haven't sang it.
You have it.
Okay, so this fun fact, it kind of sums up how I feel, okay? So Robert Ebert, the legendary movie critic.
Yeah, back when Siskel and Ebert was a thing.
Yes, he was one of a few critics that gave this movie a thumbs down.
What?
He said because he hated the character of the chief. It was like unnecessarily dumb.
Agreed.
And it was just like the guy was useless and it prevented the movie from working, which is what I also think, because I feel like he should have handled it a little different. Like,
yes, absolutely.
As the actor, I would have been like, look, I don't see this. I see this being like real. Do you really want to portray the chief of police, the fucking LAPD, as a bumbling idiot and have some beat cop be smarter than him?
Okay, let me break this down for you. So, Paul Gleason plays Deputy Police Chief Dwayne T. Robinson. Mm-hmm. Robinson, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's his character's name. So, he is clearly a opportunistic politician. He has grand aspirations of becoming a senator, joining Congress, constantly moving up, which is why he's an ass kisser to the FBI. All he's looking for is this just a stepping stone to the next thing in his career. Therefore, he doesn't know shit about police procedures. That's why he assumes that John McClane could be a bartender. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When Carl Winslow, when Reginald is telling him, yeah, I think he's a cop.
Jesus Christ, Powell. Could be a fucking bartender for all we know.
Because of certain things that he says, I got a hunch that he's a cop. You know, he talks about seeing so many IDs in his life that he knows fake ones from really high-priced, expensive ones.
What I'm going to say is, it could have been a bartender.
Could have been a bartender.
Could have been right.
Yeah, but he also could have been a fucking cop. More likely to be a cop. Especially knowing that he's still alive and he's still evading these motherfuckers. Bartender's not going to evade these motherfuckers. He's going to be dead.
He's killing them, yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I know this is, it's on topic but off topic. So when he says that he could have been a bartender,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis was a bartender before he became a famous person.
Nice. I hear something.
That's my favorite sound.
Boom!
Smashley in the motherfucking building! Bah, bah, bah.
Hey, baby. Oh, she's carrying things.
Need help?
How you doing?
Okay.
You all right, baby?
Great one.
Oh.
She let all that cold air in here. Yeah.
She's been fighting traffic. That L.A. traffic is no joke, people.
No. Stay out of L.A.
Stay out of L.A.
If you're not from here, go away.
It's overcrowded. My love, can we make you a drink? She wants a drink.
Grab me a cup.
Continue the show without me. I'm making my baby a drink.
Grab me a cup with some ice. Okay. Let's see. Where can we go now? Can we move on?
We'll come back to him.
Okay. Well, here, let me give you a fun fact. So Clint Eastwood originally owned the rights for the novel. So this started off as a book called Nothing Lasts Forever. Like, that's what this movie's based off of. And in this book, this whole event is supposed to happen within 3 days. Not the one night like it is portrayed. But the director, John, he liked the Midsummer Night's Dream. And he wanted it to last for only one night. Which I kind of like because it's like the original fucking Jack Bauer for 24. Like, he does all this shit in 24 hours. Or less. To, like, solve terrorist crimes, which happen all the time.
And I'm back. How did I do?
You did good. I did a fun fact while you're gone.
Ooh. I got my headphones in backwards, though.
Ooh.
Okay, what was I yelling about? I was going on a rant for a minute.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Paul Gleason. So the thing about him and the reason why Sis Roger Ebert has an issue is because he's made to play that dumb person who doesn't understand police procedures.
Mm-hmm.
However, if he was an experienced chief and he knew everything that Reginald knew, then the movie would be over in 30 minutes.
Sure.
There has to be an obstacle, and that's what he is creating. That is the reason why he doesn't listen when John McClane is telling him, pull back, do not enter the building, this, that, and the other. He is the reason why the cops don't show up for fucking forever.
Yep.
They don't listen to John McClane for shit.
That's what, have you watched 24?
With Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes.
Never seen it.
That is literally the basis of every season, is that there's some terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to believe that he can handle it. And someone always is pushing back on him that are higher up until they realize, like, oh shit, this is the shit.
Yeah, like even right before they learn John McClane's identity, when they're still calling him Roy.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers, baby.
You are drinking a dirty Roy Rogers.
How is it?
Tasty.
There we go. Smashly approved.
Smash the So, babe, just a heads up, we are on our second Roy Rogers Dirty. Boy. It's getting serious.
We need to catch up.
But we are speeding through this.
We are. So now, where are we at?
Let's talk about Paul Gleason for a minute. I don't want to skip over him because, well, he is and forever will be the principal of the Breakfast Club.
You can't see me, but I'm putting up the horns.
Oh, nice.
Did you not get...
I did not get that.
You mess with the bull.
You mess with the bull, you get the horns. I gotcha, Bender.
He died,
for 2 months, I gotcha. No. Oh, he did. He did. That's right.
Called it.
In 2006.
R.I.P.
Yeah, he did, unfortunately. But not before giving us one last gem, Van Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he plays Professor McDougal.
Yeah.
And Van Wilder.
We are going to have a college month.
Thank you, Mr. Paul Gleason.
Thank you, Paul. Even though you're a douchebag in this movie.
I mean, he plays a douchebag. And then he reprises his role from The Breakfast Club in Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So, your mother is a hoe. But yeah, Paul Gleason, we love you. We appreciate you. We will talk about you again during college month on Van Wilder.
Yep.
Because we've had too many drinks and we've
moving it right along.
Can we get back to a man that we mentioned earlier, but we didn't say his name?
Sure.
William Atherton.
Oh, okay.
I said we was going to come back to him because he's the man that has no dick in Ghostbusters 1.
That's right. I forgot all about him.
Oh, he's so fucking great. He plays the news reporter. He's the one that's yelling at his TV station, if you don't give me a fucking van, I'm going to steal a van.
Can I just say that he is the worst person in this movie? Even he's worse than Hans. Like,
all right, no,
look, look, you let me in right now or I call the INS. Comprende? This is the last time these kids are going to have to speak to their parents.
If she doesn't allow him to talk to these children, like legit babies, about their parents being held hostage. Like, that is the... that I was more appalled on that than anything in this book.
I mean, that's the breed. That's fucking journalists. You know, that's why people hate journalists. They're as bad as fucking... well, journalists, reporters, paparazzi. People hate them just as much as they hate meter maids.
Mm-hmm.
They're just... they're assholes by nature, and they don't give a fuck about anybody except getting their story. They're that...
I fucking hate them.
...motivated. They're that just, driven to their thing. Yeah, you know?
Literally, that is the thing that I was most appalled about in this whole movie of men shooting each other.
The same thing as Professor McDougal. His ultimate goal is to probably be in Congress, whereas William Atherton's goal is ultimately to be the anchorman.
That's true.
For Channel Whatever News.
Four. I don't know if it's four. I can't remember.
Let's say four.
Channel 4 News. Ranked number 3 in the rankings. Yeah. I don't know.
But he has always played a villain.
Yeah.
He
has that face, douchebag face.
Can I give you my favorite movies of his?
Hit it.
Ghostbusters, first of all.
Yep.
Plays Walter Peck.
Okay.
Such a fucking asshole. Biodome.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him in Biodome?
I remember.
He plays the doctor that, like, hides out for, like, most of the year and then comes back. What does he do? Rochambeau for the dome, doc? You feeling lucky? And he's in some other stuff. He's in, like, The Last Samurai, but my third would be absolutely Die Hard.
Okay. He's also in Real Geniuses, which I
He is in Real Geniuses.
I love that fucking movie.
Yeah.
That also might be for College Month. He's in Die Hard 2.
With Val Kilmer?
Yes.
Okay.
He's in Die Hard 2, which is... I have to rewatch that. That's probably the one I haven't watched the most.
You know what else he's done that a number of people on this movie have done?
Hoodlum?
Well, Hoodlum.
Remember that?
But I was going to see an episode of Workaholics.
Really?
Yeah, there's like 3 or 4 actors on this movie that have done co-star or a guest star on Workaholics.
Fuck yeah, that show's giving people...
doing things.
It's over now, but...
they're done now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, something I should mention about him. One of his first movies, what made him famous to begin with and, like, got people looking at him. He was the lead in Steven Spielberg's very first directorial debut. It was like a 45-minute movie called Sugarland Express.
I've never heard of it.
No?
Mm-mm.
Dude.
You seen it?
It is a movie about a man being chased by a 18-wheel big rig.
I'm like, that sounds like a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it was in the 70s. It was like mid-70s. But there is no villain except for the truck.
Sounds like Twilight Zone. There was one that was similar to that.
It's crazy, yeah.
I love the Twilight Zone.
So that was his first big movie as well as Spielberg's directorial debut. And I had to throw that out there because it is something to study for you filmmakers out there.
Study, study. All
right. Either that or sneak your ass onto the Warner Brothers a lot like Spielberg did.
I mean, it's a lot harder now.
Yeah.
And they probably press charges, but good luck, y'all. Mm-hmm.
Dude, my old acting coach used to claim that he is the reason why Warner Brothers security is so tight right now.
What do you do?
He claims that he was hired to infiltrate Warner Brothers backlot. And he claims that he followed the riverbed that mm-hmm. runs behind it.
Yeah.
And went through like the little stream of water that's right in the middle. You know how they funnel it, right? They build. It's all concrete now. It's not an actual river anymore.
When was this?
I don't know. I kind of call bullshit, but I don't know.
I call bullshit, but go ahead.
Because at the same time, he was an extra on Independence Day.
He was?
Yeah. Yeah, my old acting coach. That's his claim to fame. But he claims that he went down the riverbed, and that's how he snuck over the Warner Brothers gate as close as possible. And then he got a bunch of people fired that were supposed to be running security.
Dick!
Yeah.
I call bullshit.
I'm not going to name his name or nothing like that.
I call name bullshit. All right, where are we at?
We are on the lovely, wonderful Miss Bonnie Bedelia.
My Bonnie lies over the ocean.
She plays the wife.
Do you know who she was closest to on set?
Who was she closest to?
Alan.
Alan Arkin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They were...
I don't know why I had said Alan Arkin. Yeah. I've had a couple of drinks.
It's okay. Hans Gruber?
Dude, this is one of those episodes where I'm getting a little smashed.
You're feeling good.
I'm feeling good. I was excited about this movie.
I haven't drank literally all week, so I have
Look at been you. Looking forward to this. Okay.
Yeah, they were really close, and they had lunch every day.
Okay.
And they became friends. That's like her most fondest memory of this movie is getting to know him.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, she ahead. Plays Holly Gennaro.
Gennaro. Miss Gennaro.
A.K.A. Holly McClain in this, mm-hmm. and she was fucking fantastic.
With her 80s power suit on.
With her 80s power suit.
Her little...
She comes in.
The belt.
Yeah, and
big
she
hair.
Takes the reins like, okay, my boss is dead. I guess I'm the boss now.
So who are you? I'm the boss after you killed the boss.
Yeah, who put you in charge?
What idiot put you in charge?
You did. When you murdered my boss, now everybody's looking to me. Personally, I pass on the job. I don't enjoy being this close to you.
You did after you killed my boss.
You killed him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. And she plays it cool.
She does.
You know, she doesn't let on to anything.
She's like, look, you know? We got pregnant bitches out here that mm-hmm. need couches.
So unless you want a mess, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we need you to let us go to the bathroom because we about to blow up this spot with some poop and pee.
That's right. She negotiates with him real subtly.
And he was really subtle about it, too. Like, nice about it. Like, okay, I know there's a pregnant bitch, but...
Yeah, exactly.
I can't give
I'm not
going
to move you to another room, but I will bring a couch.
I'll bring a couch.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I will accept that. Yes, absolutely.
All right. That's all I wanted anyway.
In case, unless you want to mess in these rooms, I suggest you start taking us in groups. Like, she's not stretching it. She's not asking for too much. She's staying below his radar.
I'd be like, there's two cases of champagne in the back. I think you should bring that shit forward so we can drink that shit.
Keep your hostages happy.
Keep us happy. And be like, look, and there's enough for your men as well. If you'd like.
Yeah. But I mean, we're here. Let's party.
This was a Christmas party and you kind of ruined it. So
my secretary is eyeing your number two villain over there. What's
you
happening?
You seriously killed our boss. So we don't even know if we have a job tomorrow. So we need to get drunk.
I got you. Mm-hmm. And she also, like, this is probably the script writing, but she does it very well. She makes sure to let him know, Hans Gruber know, that it is Miss Holly.
Yep.
What's her last name?
Gennaro.
Holly Gennaro. Yeah, she doesn't use his last name, and she makes sure to say Miss.
Can I give you a fun fact? So that
they can't tie the two together.
I'm going to give you a fun fact about Miss Gennaro. Say it again.
Gennaro.
It's spelled two different ways in the movie.
Okay.
Like at the beginning when John comes in and he pushes the very high tech touchscreen.
Touchscreen in the 80s?
88? I don't know.
Get the fuck.
I was a baby. I don't know any of this shit.
Okay.
So before he pushes her name, it's spelled with an A.
Okay.
After he pushes her name and it's lit up, it's spelled with an E.
Mm.
And on the board in the hallway, it's spelled with an A.
Fucking scripty.
Yeah, so somebody didn't know how to spell the bitch's name.
Well, I mean...
Or I think in the credits, it's with an A.
It, ultimately, it's the scripty's fault.
Yeah.
Set dresser, my mistake. Thank you.
Smashly. That's you. Why are you fucking up the bitch's name? I'm just playing. Smashly wasn't even born. Yeah.
She was baking.
She was baking in the oven.
She was baking when this one came out.
Boop, boop, boop. There, she was a bun in the oven.
Yeah, they baked that real nice, didn't they, babe?
Sounds sleazy. All right.
Well, Bonnie Bedelia, let's assume that that's how you say her name.
Sounds right.
She's still doing her thing. She's 70 years old. She just had a movie come out in 2017. She is still doing TV, most notably... Parenthood. That is Bonnie Bedelia. She plays Craig T. Nelson's wife always and forever in Parenthood.
I don't know. She,
and it is a damn good show.
She's in two diehards. So.
She's in two diehards. She's going to forever be Holly Gennaro.
There we go.
But she's also always going to be Camille Braverman.
Okay.
She's Dax Shepard's mom, yo. All
right. I don't watch the show, so I can't really. I know that your boyfriend's going to be on the ranch now, right?
Yes, he is. Did you just call him my boyfriend?
Your guy love.
I love.
You answered like, yes, proudly, your boyfriend.
You're damn right. I already finished the whole season of The Ranch. Newest season.
The news was with Dax in it?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. Okay. You ready to talk about him?
I've been waiting. I don't know who we're talking about right now.
We're talking about the amazingly talented... always memorable Alan Rickman.
That's what I thought we were talking about. I was like, Mr. Mystery Guest. I like what he says.
Okay.
Wait, what's the building called again?
Tacomi Plaza.
He'd be like, Mr. Tacomi. Mr. Tacomi. He says it really weird. It's so funny.
It's Alan Rickman. That's just the way that he talks.
I get that.
And that is why... For those of you who listened to last episode, and for those of you who follow us on Instagram, there's no way in hell I could recreate that accent. Alan Rickman trying to play a German, it's not going to happen.
Well, can I tell you a little fun fact on him?
Okay.
So his first day on set was the scene where him and John meet.
Oh, please God, no, you're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them.
Ooh.
And the director noticed that he did a pretty decent American accent.
Yes, he did.
So they kind of improv that. They did all that in one take.
Nice.
And Alan, he made a jump off a 3-foot-high ledge.
Uh-huh.
And he injured his knee.
Dude.
And he ended up like damaging some cartilage in there. So for weeks, he had to be on like crutches and shit. So a lot of his scenes, he's standing either like on 1 foot and you can't see it, or underneath his pants, he has a brace on.
Wow.
So that he can fucking do it. That's his fucking first day.
Dude. And that's crazy.
And he talks about how he hates listening to his American accent because you can tell in some spots that his real accent comes through, which is true, because when I was listening to it, I was like, that doesn't even sound like an American. Like, some parts it does.
Well, in 1988, it does.
Some parts it does sound like American accent, and then some parts it doesn't. Like,
absolutely.
When he goes, like, I work for, when he says, Takamakami, what's the place? Fuck, I can never remember.
Takomi Plaza.
When he says,
You don't work for Nakatomi.
He has his accent again.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't have the English accent. So I do, I would think the same thing if I was him.
Like, before you even mentioned that, I noticed it. Mm-hmm. However, yes, because they didn't know how they were going to do the meeting. They wanted Hans and John McClane to meet, but they didn't know how it was going to work until Alan Rickman showed up on set and they realized that he can do an American accent.
There's a lot of things that were not
And ready. Listening to it, I can notice.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have time to practice.
Sure.
And, like, the end of this movie wasn't even scripted. They kind of figured out what they wanted to do towards the end.
They painted themselves into a corner.
They didn't even have, like, what they really want John McClane's character to, like, be until about halfway through shooting.
Dude, they stumbled and they fucking landed on the bullseye. Good job. So do you know, I don't know why he hates listening to it?
Why?
Because he was trained at RADA, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. Yeah. We've talked about them before.
Yeah.
They are like the Juilliard of Europe.
Yes.
And the difference is, in Europe, you have to train for 6 years before you can even audition for conservatory or anything like that. And they are trained very well on how to handle language. Which is why so many Brits can do an American accent, or they can do a Southern accent, or they can do a New York accent, or whatever it is. It's part of their training. And therefore, that is why he's such a harsh critic on himself about his American accent.
I would do that literally with any accent. I'd be like, ooh.
Yeah. You know what else? This is Alan Rickman's first movie.
I was going to say that.
Oh, I'm this sorry. Was, no, Did I good. Steal it from you?
This was his first movie.
First movie.
Everything that he had done prior to this was on stage, or he would be like extra or small parts in British TV.
Yeah, in British TV.
So by the time he got here, he was 41 in this movie.
I have a new admiration for him because he got accepted to RADA when he was 26. And that is very late in the game to become an actor.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I took my first acting class 2 months before I turned 28.
Hey, man.
And so I definitely associate with him very much in that respect.
Hey, Lucy, her first season, she was 39 turning 40.
Damn, and Gina. Damn, Lucy.
And before all of that, she was doing a bunch of B-rated movies. None of her stuff was fucking slapping until she got this show, and then everything she touched turned to fucking gold. So it's never too late.
It's never too late. There's a hundred, I won't say a million because there's not a million, but there are 100 stories of actors making names for themselves later in their life. But every time I hear about one, I'd be like, oh man, you're just like me. You're one of us.
Yeah. Well, Rickman, he had only been in LA about 2 days before he got this role.
Damn. He didn't right off the plane.
Yeah. He didn't even really want to do it.
Okay.
He didn't like the idea of his first American movie is him being a villain in an action movie.
Oh, and he does a great villain. He's made a career of playing villains.
And that is one of the things is that he kind of literally right out the gate was typecast.
Damn, as that's too bad.
So he kind of loves and hates Hans. Is that him in Harry Potter too, right?
Can I say that he plays both in that movie?
Can I just let the listeners
I love his story.
Know that I am completely blind to Harry Potter.
Are you kidding me?
I watched the first movie many, 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 many moons ago. I thought it was lame. Never watched it.
Oh my God, it's
started
going on
reading
the list.
I got about halfway through the book, and then we started...
Marathon, you heard it from Smashley.
I started reading the first book. I got halfway through the book, and we started the show, and I have not picked it up since.
Okay,
so
we're going to negotiate right now. I will give you Sex and the City, but we are doing Harry Potter.
Are we doing all Harry Potters?
Oh, there's like 7 movies. We're doing one a year, maybe.
One? Okay, all right. You know what? Deal. And that'll be like a movie you haven't seen. So.
You heard it here first, people. I've never seen Sex and the City.
You have to watch it. Are you going to watch a couple episodes at least prior to it?
I'll do my research. I'm an actor. I'll do my research.
Okay.
But.
Deal.
You gotta sit down with us on a Saturday and watch 2 of them back to back.
I am going to get the audiobooks of them, so when I'm traveling back and forth to here, I can get that book in there. Because I miss reading, you guys. I don't get to read as much because I'm doing this shit all the time.
Okay, well, Alan Rickman plays Professor Snape
in
the Harry Potter movies.
Right. Okay, so I have a another fun fact about Rick Mann.
Give me a fun fact.
He couldn't shoot a gun without flinching.
Mm.
But I'm going to have to say that the director, John, asked for extra loud blank rounds.
What the fuck for?
He wanted that. I'll get to more of that, but he wanted that, like, feel. So every time...
Oh, he wanted the feel, not the sound. I was going to say, because you got to add that sound in later.
It's about the feel. And probably, you
fuck up people's ears.
And so, Rickman, he couldn't shoot the gun without flinching. So every time you see him, he would, like, cut shot to something else.
Mm.
Or you can only really see it in...
Got, like, a nervous tick sort of thing.
Yeah, you can really see it in the scene where he's just like...
Shoot the glass.
And he's shooting, and you see him, he's like...
And I love, like, that scene.
He's, like, flinching the whole time.
All right, John, so, you're fucked now.
Yeah.
There's glass everywhere, and you got no shoes... Excuse me. Damn, you got no shoes on.
Mm-hmm. You got any else? Because I got one more fun fact about him.
About Alan Rickman?
Yeah.
Well, I will say that my other favorite movie of his is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Look at you.
Cricket, cricket, cricket. So, if this is your first time tuning in, fuck Kevin Costner. Move on.
There's so many other people in that movie.
Who's Robin Hood? Fuck Kevin Costner. Let's move on. You got anything else?
Morgan Freeman. Black actors.
Black motherfucking actors.
I will say that, sadly, Alan Rickman did pass away in 2016. And it was a huge loss, and it did shock everybody in America and everybody in Europe.
Dude,
probably across the world. It was a very, very sad day.
I feel like everyone in this movie's dead.
No.
We've named at least three.
Who else?
The...
I know Paul Gleason and Alan Rickman. Who was the third?
The...
Oh, that's right.
What's his name?
Alexander.
Yeah. Cal or whatever his name is.
Goodenough.
Yes.
You were close though, weren't you? Cal is very close to Goodenough.
Fuck you, bitch. Okay, so here's my fun fact.
All right.
So when Hans was falling at the end, he's falling off the slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
That look on his face is Rickman's real surprise look. Because the stuntman let him go on two instead of three.
Oh, shit.
And so that look is not ready for him to fall and land on pads or whatever. And that.
Wait a minute. Did he really fall from the fucking building?
No. But he fell at least a story or two.
Oh, okay.
From whatever set there is. Because you can see that it's obviously fake.
Yeah.
The background as he's falling.
That's true.
So he's falling. It's like, oh. That look on his face is real. Man. And that is the very first take, and that's the one they used.
How many takes did they do?
I did not read that. But
I would put the over-under at three.
I was going to say about three.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But sometimes the first reaction is usually the correct one.
Mm-hmm. That's why he was like, one, I'm going to let you go on three. One, two,
A lot of times you feel like you got it in the first take, but you want to be safe.
You got to have a couple.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it time?
It is time.
Because I've been biting my tongue with so many fucking facts.
Sorry, let me get my Lion King Rafiki on. It is time.
Yep. What you got?
I got Bruce motherfucking Willis. Before anything, favorite performance of Bruce Willis?
Pulp Fiction.
That's yours?
Four Rooms, I like him in that.
Okay.
And Die Hard 3. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Nice. I'm going to say...
And both of those. The first two are Quentin Tarantino movies.
Dr. Green from Friends. Is he a doctor in that? And he's dating Rachel Green. He plays the father of the college student who Ross is dating.
Okay.
I say that because it's one of his biggest stretches as an actor. He does this scene where he's dancing in front of the mirror and he's finally going to have sex with Rachel. And he's singing, I'm just a love machine.
And I won't work for nobody but you.
Exactly. He's like unbuttoning his shit and showing all the chest hair.
Oh, God. Sorry, I've never seen it, but okay.
Okay, I'm just joking. But I had to throw that out there because I think it's hilarious that he's in Friends.
Can I give you a fun fact about him in this movie?
Yes, please.
Bruce Willis got the then unheard of salary of $5 million. for doing this movie.
For this movie? Holy shit.
So, which in today is about like 10 million?
At least.
And he only got this because of some movie. Have you ever heard of a movie called Blind Date?
No.
Well, it
may. I know it's one of his earlier movies, but I've never seen it.
It is a earlier movie of his, and apparently it did really well enough for him to be able to ask for $5 million for this movie.
Damn, because this is his first lead role.
In a movie, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking Bruce. And he's been riding that rocket all the way to the stratosphere ever since.
Yeah.
But I will say, before we get too far away from it, my favorite actual performance of his is Death Becomes Her.
Oh, shit. That is one of my favorite movies. I feel like I always seem to watch it around my birthday, but it is like one of my favorites.
Okay. Because he always plays the tough guy,
the
reluctant hero, you know, in this, in fucking Once Upon a Time in Venice, in Sin City, you know.
Oh, yeah, Sin
City. That's his typecast.
What? Fifth Element.
And the Fifth Element as well.
That's on the list because I like that shit. Did you know that Bruce turned down the movie at first? Like this movie?
Oh, this movie?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, because he was on his hit TV show Moonlighting.
Dude.
So, but luckily his co-star got pregnant.
In Moonlighting?
Yes.
And that's why he did this?
Because they got 11 weeks off.
Oh, okay. I gotta mention another movie that I absolutely love. I didn't even do my top three, but I'm just gonna do a top two. My other favorite movie of his. People can argue with me if they want. Armageddon. Harry motherfucking Stamper.
Dude, you really... I don't even have that on my radar. Forget Dude, about that shit.
I love that movie. I don't care what people say.
And I don't wanna miss a thing. See him when I dream of you. The sweetest dream will never do. I still miss you, baby. And I don't want to miss a thing. Well, maybe we'll do that movie sometime.
Yeah, we got to do that movie one day.
Maybe. It'll be your pick.
It'll be like end of the world month. We'll do that one. We'll do Independence Day. We'll do like a Star Trek or something like that.
Okay. Oh, he's in Planet Terror from the Grindhouse movies. I love Red. That's a good one.
Yeah. Look who's talking. Look who's talking.
Wait. Doug.
He plays the baby.
What about Alpha Dog? He plays his the father.
And
he was like super. He made himself look super trashy old.
True.
Like little spots.
And that was like a late 90s, early 2000s movie. So he wasn't old yet. However, he looked old in Die Hard 1.
Dude, his hair was receding in Die Hard 1.
Yes, it really was. Oh, Blind Date. I looked it up. So the budget was $18 million, and the movie did $39 million. So doubled its money, which I guess by those standards warrants a $5 million purse.
What about The Last Boy Scout?
Contract. Sorry, I'm thinking like a boxer.
What about The Last Boy Scout?
I'm fuckface. He's asshole. I do love that movie. Mm-hmm. Last Boy Scout was good. Him and Damon Wayans fucking kill it.
I got a few fun facts about him in this movie, okay?
Okay.
So the scene where McClane, he falls down the elevator shaft, it was a mistake by a stuntman.
Oh, shit.
And he fell and had to catch himself on a ledge. And they kind of like it. And they reshot it with Bruce catching himself on the ledge and pulling himself up.
See, that's...
So you get the real footage of a stuntman falling down a shaft. That's real. And so they edited it together.
That's crazy. See, that's my argument with... not having a finished script before you start shooting. Yeah. I mean, happy accidents, great. But homeboy could have died.
And in how many Die Hards are there?
Four or five.
Five? Okay, so let's see.
Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Live Free or Die Hard, A Good Day to Die Hard, so five.
So in all five of them, there is an elevator shaft scene or an elevator scene.
That's true.
Yep. Can I give you another fun fact about Bruce? There were so many fun facts about this movie, you guys. I literally had to scale it down so that I wouldn't be here all night. So
I'm trying not to keep you guys too late these days.
So Bruce, he had to wear special rubber shoes that were designed to look like his bare feet.
Ah.
So when he's running around. It's like a hobbit. Yeah, exactly. That's what I kept thinking is that, like, he had these hobbit feet. But
they didn't have Vibrams back then?
They were really bad hobbit feet. Like, if you really pay attention to them, you can tell that they're big and clunky. And there's a scene, like, when he's on the roof and the FBI are shooting at him on the roof and he dives and he lands. He said something. I don't know what he says.
On your side, you assholes!
But you can legit see the feet buckle a little because it goes up. It looks like a little bit past his ankles.
Uh-huh.
And when he lands, there's a gap in between.
Ah,
so like,
I see.
You can see it. If you really pay attention to it, you can find
it. If you're looking for it.
If you're looking for it.
I got you.
I wasn't until this.
But I gotta say, that is a hell of an idea to put our hero with no shoes on throughout the entire
so vulnerable,
fucking movie.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
9 million terrorists in the world, and I gotta kill one with feet smaller than my sister.
People don't realize how much you need your feet until you're walking around barefoot on broken fucking glass.
Yeah. Can you guess what Bruce Willis's first scene was? Unless you already know.
I mean, being that we were just talking about his feet, I would say where he's rubbing his feet across the carpet.
No.
Damn.
His first day on set was him jumping off of the side of the building.
Get the fuck out.
Smashing into the wall and then trying to break through.
Okay.
That was his first scene. And after shooting it, like, he shot it and he didn't even realize that the explosions were going to go off. So it scared him. And he almost missed the airbag.
Oh, shit.
That he was falling on because he got, like, so startled.
So what you're saying is John McTiernan is the opposite type of director. Most directors do the most craziest scenes for last, just in case their actor dies. Therefore, John McTiernan did the most craziest scenes first, just in case his actor dies. Therefore, they can replace him right away.
You are legitly correct. You, like, it's like you read my notes right now. And Bruce Willis went to him and was like, why the fuck would you make this my first day? And he's like, because if you died or seriously injured yourself, we could totally start over. Like, nothing would be lost.
Nice.
One shot.
So I'm going to give you a fun fact about another movie. Ron Howard filmed Tom Hanks's death-defying scenes of Angels and Demons last. And they were like, did you do that just in case he died so you can finish the movie? I was like, absolutely. You still got to finish the movie whether he dies or not.
So here's another one. So you know how I said that the director asked for extra loud rounds?
Yes.
So in the scene where Bruce Willis is hiding under the desk, and the guy's like,
next time you have a chance to kill someone, don't hesitate.
You shouldn't have hesitated. Bruce, like, just fucking shoots him, you know, under the table.
Yeah.
That round is too close to his head.
Oh, yeah, especially being under that table.
Being under that table, that he is still to this day partially deaf.
Motherfuckers. All you future directors out there, listen to your actors. If they have a concern, god damn it, listen to them. It's a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate that.
And now he's deaf a little bit.
That's crazy. That's terrible.
Yeah. So can I give you my last Bruce Willis facts? Bruce, get it.
Throw it out there.
So Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers, was almost Yippee-tai-yay.
Why?
So the director wanted Yippee-ki-yay, and Bruce was like, well, I kind of feel like Yippee-ki-yay would be better. So they did both ways to see which one sounded better. And we know which one won.
That's interesting.
A lot of shit was improvised in this.
And yeah. Just that slight little bit that changes everything, though. Yippee-ki-yay sounds like shit.
Like, I don't get it.
It changes the entire saying, though. It would not be a classic quote if it was Yippee-ki-yay.
If it was...
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
If it was,
sound right.
It would be misquoted. People would still say Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait. I have one more fun fact. I didn't write this down, but I remember. So, the scene where he is in the air vent and he does the, come out to the coast, we'll have a few laughs. His lines were fed to him through an old-ass cell phone.
Nice.
Up in there. And, like, that's where some of the lines came from.
Sure.
You got any more? Because I got, like, three more fun facts.
That is our actors. That is our directors. I'm going to finish my drink
finish your drink.
To you.
All right. So the view outside of the window of the 30-whatever floor when he goes up to the office looking for his wife is painted backdrop.
Oh.
Equipped with...
There was a couple of those.
Equipped with flashing lights. So flashing. It looks like cars.
Lights.
I'm sorry, I don't do Kanye anymore. But the flashing lights that go through the city of like cars. So.
What if I sing some old school Kanye?
Nope.
Like the Dropout.
How about Slavery Was a Choice? Can you repeat that one?
Did he fucking say that shit? Yeah.
I can't.
Jesus.
I can't. He's wiped from my life. So
oh my God. That dude is off the reservation.
You can't.
I truly believe
his black card is revoked, is burnt. Like, fuck that fool.
I believe in Joe Rogan's theory that the Kardashians
they're
fuck
evil.
Up.
Black men?
Black men's minds.
They do. I totally agree. Totally agree.
Make them completely crazy. They put some shit in their ear while they're sleeping. I don't know.
I was pretty much
look at Lamar Odom. Yeah. And I think he says it on his last stand-up. He's like, I got my eye on Kanye and I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
I'm not liking what I'm seeing. Like, I already was almost done with him once he married that bitch. But then once he started saying that slavery was a choice for our people.
Are you kidding me?
I was done. I'm going to show you the clip. It is like the most ridiculous shit.
Wow. All right.
So let's get off that fucker and let me tell you some fun fact. Here's a fun fact. So in other countries, it's not called Die Hard.
What?
It's translated into different things. You want to hear some?
Okay.
So in Spain, the title translated is Crystal Jungle.
What?
And in Poland, it's called The Glass Tower. And it's also...
They changed the fucking title. It don't mean that shit over there.
The Glass Tower. Also known in other places, it is hard to kill him or he dies slowly.
Okay, those two, they tried to do Die Hard correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Glass Tower and whatever else
it's
you
hard
said,
to kill him.
These fools couldn't figure it out and they just tried to make up a new title.
It's the Crystal Jungle and the Glass Tower. Oh, the Glass Trap, sorry.
España, y'all need to get up on your translation.
I do like he dies slowly. Out of all of those, that's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And what was the other one that sounded kind of close to it?
It is hard to kill him.
Fucking right, it's hard to kill.
Okay, so here's my, you ready for my last fun fact?
Give me your last fun fact.
So the people who were considered to play McLean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mel Gibson.
I like Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Harrison Ford.
You thought I was going to let that go?
Yes. Bitch. Harrison Ford. Richard Gere was on the list.
He was busy shoving gerbils up his ass.
And you don't... I don't want to get into that.
I'm sorry. I've had a few drinks.
And you'll never guess the last person. John Travolta.
I can see that.
I don't.
Well...
I also saw
the reason
that
I could see
Reynolds
it is because
was
he was very
there.
Popular. Burt Reynolds was an option. Yeah.
He was on there. And like I said, Clint Eastwood had the rights for the movie. And he planned on playing it in the early 80s. But by that time, he was like, you know what? Fuck this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wait a minute. Did you say Burt Reynolds?
Clint Eastwood.
Owned
the rights for the book.
He was too old.
But Burt Reynolds was also on the list of people to play.
He's pushing 90-something now.
Dude, I want to see
the
mule.
So this was
30
years ago.
He
was 60?
He looks like this creepy skeleton. I can't even... I don't know if I can watch the mule because I'm scared. It might be his last one, but he looks gross as fuck.
I'll see anything that Clint Eastwood does.
I heard good things about it.
Yeah. You see Trouble with the Curve? I love that movie.
Yeah. Okay, so you got anything else before we hit Z for the people?
Just a smile on my face.
So you know it's time for Z for the people.
Two drinks and some maraschino cherries in my belly.
Okay, so you guys, I couldn't really think of a charity to do with this, but I thought since it is our second LA Christmas movie, that I would help out us here. So here in LA, the poverty rate is 26.9%. And that is the highest rank nationally. So people spend at least 90% of their income on rent. And that makes a lot of people homeless because they don't have shit for them to do. So the LA Mission here at 136 East Winston Street is always looking for help. They help out men, women, and children. And you can drop off personal care items like lip balm, toothpaste and toothbrushes, diapers. You could drop off food. They're always looking for beef and ham, cheese, milk. And there's clothing, so you can bring socks. And they're always looking for any different sizes of clothing to help out people homeless. So this is not just something that you can do here in LA on your own, but you can also do this literally anywhere you live. There has to be a shelter where you can donate these things. You don't think, a lot of people think you just have to give money or like your canned goods, but really giving a toiletry bag full of toothpaste and floss and mouthwash and just things to just care for their bodies goes a long, 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 long way.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I wanted to throw that one out there, being that it is still the holiday season.
I like that. Yeah. That's a good Z for the people.
Thank you. So, I'm done. My book's closed.
Close that book.
Close that book.
Hold on. Do you got your lines written in that book? Because we got to do the scene.
I don't. I got to pull them up right now. Before we do that, you guys, send us your close encounters, your movies that you want to see, lightscameracocktails@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and our new Twitter. I didn't even tell you about that.
You got a Twitter?
We got a Twitter.
That's all you, because I don't understand Twitter.
I don't understand Twitter at all, so I'm going to figure it out. And we have it. So that's Lights, Camera, Cocktail Podcast.
No S.
No. No, no S for the Gmail. Oh, shit.
My fault.
Lights, Camera, Cocktail with no S for the Gmail.
For the Instagram, it's like Lights, Camera, Cocktails Podcast. For the Twitter, it's Lights, Camera, Cocktails Podcast?
Yeah.
I got you.
You got me.
Okay.
All right. You ready for this?
We're going to see. I don't have the lines in front of me, so.
You got this.
I got this.
You got this.
All right.
All right.
You ready?
Hit it.
Hey, sweet pea, how's your cock working now that you ain't got no badge?
What?
Here's what I think of you, you fuck up.
Spit in my face?
Hey, you're not going to hit him.
Why not?
Because I'm going to hit him.
No, you're not going to hit him. We both hit him.
Bow!
Biatch. I feel like saying that at the end.
I am so excited for next week's movie.
I am. To be honest with you, I haven't seen this movie in a coon's age, so coon's we will age, see.
Dude, this was an audible too. This was like a last minute throw in. Some things fell through and we were going to do a different movie next week, but now we're doing this one and I like our results.
I have no clue what drink I'm going to pair with this. We will see. We will see. Well, that's it.
That is it.
We done.
All right, people.
We made it.
We are out of here. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Lights, Camera, Cocktails. Where we see y'all next week.
Next year.
In the new year.
Yeah, we'll see you next year.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. Merry Christmas, bitches.